Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
I have one thing I would like to ask Commissioner Calkins in all respect. On the record, do you or do you not have a concealed carry permit in the state of Florida?
Mr. Wright, let me ask you, why is it your business? Why is the government going to ask me whether I have a concealed weapons permit or not? I will not answer that question to you. I'll answer it to the citizens. So okay. I think you're trying to create a distraction, and I don't appreciate that. And I think we should stick with the subject, so I'd like to...
For the record, you did tell me no, or you told me yes.
None of your business.
Now, that's a little bit of a flashback to February when Colton Wright, Commissioner Colton Wright and James Calkins got into a little bit of it, as somebody might say, they got into it, over the question of whether Commissioner Calkins has a concealed weapons permit. He is still not publicly disclosed. I called and asked him, and he would not tell me either. And, you know, he's one of these folks who makes a big deal out of being pro-gun, but he does not and will not, and for what he says are philosophical reasons that the government and other people don't have a right to the information, he will not say whether he has one. The other members of the county commission, I think all four have one, and even Dave Peach at the end of that meeting says, I don't have any problem telling you that I have one too. Colton Wright certainly has one, and, you know, former cop Sam Parker, so Bob Colby the only one, and I'm sure he does too. So anyway, the point is, this came up in February. It was all over, you know, this push for statewide policies by, like, Anthony Sabatini to be outlined in local, either in statute or in declarations of support. You remember all this conversation we're having back in February about gun rules? Okay, I play that because that's the sort of the prelude to what happened yesterday in the meeting. Now, in between then and now, we've had this huge dust-up over the question of the SCOP fund application that was not made for a project that would have been $1.4 million. That's a small county outreach program for funding, you know, infrastructure projects. Dan Schebler has come under a lot of criticism for this because somehow, some way, someone in the administration didn't file for these funds, didn't ask for them. If you file for them, you don't necessarily get them, but this has been raised as a $1.4 million error or choice by Schebler's administration, and Calkins, who has long expressed the view that he wants to get rid of Schebler, is now, every meeting, this is an issue. And we talked about this a lot last week. So, and he's got supporters with him that believe that as well, and then other people who believe that Dan does a fantastic job. Count me in that category, though we all agree this was a bad decision and or mistake. So this is, that was the prelude, okay, to yesterday when Matt Nolan got up during public forum and said this.
So my question is, on February 4th, 2021, in the BOCC evening meeting, at approximately 5 hours and 42 minutes, it was one hell of a long, excuse my language, one heck of a long meeting. You were asked by Commissioner Wright, and I quote, do you have a concealed carry permit for the state of Florida? And you told him at 5 hours, 42 minutes, 57 seconds, I will not answer that question to you, but I will answer to the citizens. So, Mr. Calkins, I'm your citizen asking you on February 4th, 2021, and today, do you have a carry concealed permit for the state of Florida? Please answer that question for me, sir. You said that you would answer a resident or a citizen. That is me today.
He did say he would answer a citizen. There's a citizen asking, so?
I fully believe what this is right now is a hit job.
So it's a question.
No, this is a hit job.
So it's a question. It's very
and,
simple.
And for clarification,
I would like to say that you coming up here and, you know, attacking, basically saying what you're saying is a hit job based on the last meeting and what I was for.
So in the previous meeting, it was when he was against Dan Shebler over the revelations about the SCOP funding not being applied for. And now somebody is coming up who says, you know, brings up this stuff from February and says, well, what about this? One of the other things that had come up in that meeting very briefly, very incidentally, was the question of whether James Calkins in his business practices had ever gotten any code violations, because he's, you know, kind of against a whole bunch of different code violations. Someone talked about the increases. He's expressed skepticism about that. And, you know, he's doesn't like code division enforcement, typically, is kind of the way his lean is. Well, his business... Does it or has it ever? And he hasn't answered the meeting. Here's Matt Nolan again.
So I'm waiting for that. You said that you would answer that question. Did you lie at that time about answering the question to a resident?
Sir, I appreciate your comments, but I will not let you distract from the issue at hand. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, can I ask him? I mean, what can we? Okay, no.
You could ask him if he refuses to answer.
That's fine.
Call.
So I'm going to take it that you did not misspeak. You weren't misspoken on February 4th. I'm not going to call you a liar. I mean, you're on record right now. You know, one other question is, you mentioned that there's a vendetta against individuals throughout the county, correct? It's known you don't like code enforcement. It's known you don't like certain department heads throughout this county. As a citizen, when you were a citizen prior to being a commissioner, did you ever have any code enforcement violations?
Sir, now you sound like him trying to distract from the issue.
Well, you're saying that he has a vendetta against you. Commissioner Peach had a vendetta against against other people.
I find it interesting how Commissioner Peach had you first on the list to speak, and this is a hit job against me. This is a cover-up is what it is, and now I'm being attacked.
They were too slow.
You. So thank you, sir. I respect your service.
You should.
God bless you.
Thank you. Gentlemen, I appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Just for the record, too, I don't control the sign-in list. Folks, you all came through and signed in at your list. I don't sit here and stack the list. So this is public record. If anyone would like a copy, they could see that you all sign up. I don't control the order that the people come in.
So this is now at least the second time that Calkins has accused Dave Peach of being out to get him, an organized effort to somehow discredit him or attack him or cover up. It's interesting to me because, again, I know these commissioners fairly well. You know, I've never seen anything from Dave Peach other than integrity. Not even one time. Not even a whiff of it. Right. So this is for him to just immediately jump to that conclusion at least two different times. I think it's been three now, but I know for sure it's been at least two. That's an interesting choice when things aren't going the way that he wants. Now, this became a whole lot more involved. I mean, this went on for the whole meeting off and on at different times. They would talk about, you know, the error that the department made, and Calkins would basically press him on this, and Dan would give some of an answer and not a full enough answer, and then they'd come back, and then the public would bring this back up. There's a group of about five or six people in the audience, apparently that's what Annie Blanks was saying in the PNJ, that are, you know, obviously very much on Calkins' side, you know, that showed up to support him. That's the clapping that you here in the background. But I mean, this got just, you know, it was involved yesterday. Here was a little bit later on.
Did you intentionally not file the paperwork
for the SCOP fund? He's talking to Dan Shebler.
Administration does not file the paperwork for this program.
Who? You said we made a decision. Did you make a decision to not file the paperwork? That's what I'm asking. Was that a decision you made or your group made?
We as an organization, and I as the leader of this organization, made a decision, and I support the organization.
Made a decision to not file the paperwork. Let me ask you, why would you make a decision to not file paperwork that would get us money and roads and infrastructure?
And I think, look, that's a fair question. Because was it an oversight or was it a decision? And if it was a decision, why was the decision made? Now, I'll give you my own theory about this. I'm suspicious that somebody made a decision that turns out to look bad in retrospect, or maybe was above their pay grade. Those are kind of, looks to me like the options. And my suspicion is that Dan Shebler is trying to keep all of his employees working for him. Because I think right now the morale among the people at Santa Rosa County, in the administration, on the executive side of things, I think it's sort of teetering on edge. If they believe that the commission has their back and that the commission believes in them doing their jobs and that they like their work environment, they're going to stay because it's a good place to work. And Dan Shebler's their guy, and they like him. On the other hand, if they feel like every whim that comes down about an error or an oversight or a question or a challenge is going to come, they're basically, their job's on the line because a commissioner doesn't like them, they're going to look elsewhere. And that's, so when all of this hubbub started, the morale was low and lowering regularly. And to see the four commissioners stand up against James Calkins and say, no, we believe in Dan and everything's fine, I think that reassured a lot of people. But then you have all of this continuing to go on, right?
Mr. Chairman, this question still wasn't answered.
Several questions weren't answered.
Several questions have not been answered.
And y'all are protecting this whole situation. The people want infrastructure. We don't have the funds for infrastructure. And if you made a decision, this is a cover-up is what it is.
We stand in recess. If you folks keep disrupting the meeting, I'm going to ask the deputy to escort you from the meeting.
So, as you can hear, when I call it a Mexican soap opera, I'm not exaggerating. And it's one person, sometimes who has good reason, sometimes maybe doesn't, who's really causing a lot of this disruption. And the question is whether he's disrupting in the good direction or disrupting in a bad direction, right?
If you keep disrupting the meeting, the deputy's here to maintain order and decorum at this meeting. We will ask you to step outside until you could come back in and be a part of an orderly meeting. Now we're going to Mr. Beckman, his turn at public forum. Mr. Beckman, you're up.
Cover up.
521 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Another turning point, a fork stuck in the road. Time grabs you by the wrist, directs you where to go.
Good morning, 523 here on News Radio 92.3, AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. It's hump day. Halfway, if you're a Monday through Friday employee. Now, Davis, how do you count hump day? Do you think of hump day as a Wednesday, or since we work pretty much 7 days a week, do you think of it as Thursday?
No, I still look at it. I'd look at it as a Wednesday, because Saturday,
it's a different kind of work.
It's a different kind of work.
It's the extra bonus.
Yeah, it's like all sports, all the time kind of sport. And so it's only 2 hours. So it's like, all right, let's do this and go home.
Exactly. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. Mark?
It's almost like a State of the Union, but not quite. As NBC's Tracy Potts tells us, President Biden's first joint address to Congress takes place tonight.
And because of COVID restrictions and new security around the U.S. Capitol, the crowd will be a lot thinner tonight, about 200 people in the House chamber instead of the 1,600 normally packed in there.
Biden not required to wear a mask while speaking. Only those rules apply to members of Congress. We'll have live coverage of that speech tonight. It starts at 8.
No designated survivor either.
Nope.
Because
half the only two cabinet members are going to be there. Right. Yeah. A North Carolina judge could decide today whether to release the video of a deadly police shooting. Hearing scheduled amid pressure to show the body cam footage of Andrew Brown Jr. shot 5 times in his car trying to flee deputies serving a search warrant. And, another candidate perhaps for governor of California, Randy Quaid, seriously considering it, took to Twitter claiming prosecutorial corruption is rampant in the state and says he can clean it up. A recall election against Governor Gavin Newsom could happen later this year.
I mean, you see the ad forming already is like him outside the Winnebago being like, my character in this movie couldn't keep anything clean, but I promise you, I can clean up California.
Clean up Sacramento.
And interesting, because I guess Randy Quaid is a conservative. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Caitlyn Jenner, formerly Bruce Jenner, was a fairly well-known conservative mm-hmm. and has sought Republican consultants in the election. So, I have no idea. This is good. This is going to be. This
It'll
is
be entertaining
be the fun thing
if
to
nothing
watch.
Else.
Oh yeah, this is going to be the crazy fun thing to watch. I think coming up next year. So if you were thinking that election, actually, when is the recall? When does that
be
happen?
Later this year.
That's right, later this year. Okay, so all eyes on California. Fascinating. 5:25 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Starting today, if you're fully vaccinated and you're outdoors, you need, and not in a big crowd, you no longer need to wear a mask. I want to be absolutely clear. If you're in a crowd, like a stadium or at a conference or a concert, you still need to wear a mask, even if you're outside.
But if you're with other people who've been vaccinated, or if you're in a small group, or if you're outside and you've been vaccinated, then throw that mask away. What cracks me up is the CDC keeps coming out with guidance for people to tell them to do what I think all intelligent people had already been doing. Like, they keep telling you, you know, if you've been vaccinated, it's probably okay most of the time for you to not wear a mask. Show me the person that's been vaccinated twice and they're still wearing the mask all the time. I mean, of course, why would you not? That's the whole point of getting vaccinated, is that you can hug and touch and go and not wear. I mean, that's the whole idea. And I know they keep saying that there's an uncertainty about whether you could still be contagious in your nose only and not deeper in your body. I get it. I understand that. But they're not saying that's proved. They're saying they haven't disproved that danger. Well, the fact that they haven't disproved a theoretical danger from people who already are vaccinated is a far cry from believing that that's an actual risk. And so many of these policies with the CDC are based on a possible risk as opposed to what most people think of as pretty, you know, pretty likely, pretty normal. So he talks about this yesterday in this 9.5 minute thing where he goes outside and takes off his mask and then he's walking away ending it and people start asking him questions and he goes back to the podium. Briefly.
If the risk is so low outdoors, why doesn't this new guidance apply to everybody?
Because the science indicates that the most certain way to make sure it doesn't spread if both people have been vaccinated, the people you're with, and you're outside.
It's a fair question. If being outside is the safety method, then why is it that unvaccinated people can't take the mask off outside? And the answer is because it's cumulative. Each element of your safety is an important part. What he's getting at, what the question is getting at is, I think it's the vaccinations that make you safe, not the being outside. So, and which I tend to agree with, but okay, then he goes on.
And you chose to wear a mask, sir, you chose to wear a mask. You chose to wear a mask as you walked out here. What message were you sending by wearing a mask outside alone?
By watching me take it off and not put it back on till I get inside.
Right, like if it's okay to not wear a mask outside, why did you still wear a mask when you came out here? Now he took it off and he's not going to put it back on until he goes inside. But a weird moment because he was not intending to take questions and he even indicates he wasn't supposed to.
India, they're suffering at what this do you moment. Say to the folks in India? You
Look, I'm sorry, I'm going to, this last question I'll take and I'm really going to be in trouble.
I'm going to be in trouble for taking questions as the president of the United States? From whom? Who is going to get you in trouble or punish you for taking questions? Oh, that's a really weird thing to say. Mark Jacobs, what do you got coming up, sir?
We're resuming J&J vaccinations in Escambia County. That's after 5.
Morning, 5:37 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and yesterday we had a chance to talk to Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. Chief, or Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm always doing. It's always good to talk to you, so I'm always doing well when that happens. Do we have any follow-up on the shooting that took place at Oakwood Terrace? I know there's been meetings, and there's been lawsuits, and there's been a lot of stuff, but, you know, from your perspective, I would think that finding these four guys would be the priority right now.
Yeah, you know, since it happened, we have asked, you know, the public, the people that may have seen something to give us a call or call Crime Stoppers, and we do have a lot of information that's come in through Crime Stoppers or through other measures. We have not yet made an arrest. And so we're asking, you know, the people to continue to, you know, to let us know what information they may have. As you know, we can't arrest anyone unless we have probable cause. And while we have, some people of interest, we have talked to three people that we've already put out, and we have not yet made an arrest in that shooting.
All right. Very good. Well, that's unfortunate. I mean, do we even have any idea if they're, you know, local from a distance? We just don't really know anything at this point. I mean, that you can say, you know, publicly.
We know quite a bit. And we certainly know, you know, that where they're from, and we do believe that they're local. We just don't have enough to probable cause to make an arrest. Why we need the public's information, you know, to let us know, to fill in some of the gaps that we have. And again, I don't want anyone to think that we're not working it. We're obviously working it, and we do have information. We do have, you know, people that we have interest in. Some people we're going to continue to talk to and continue to develop. And obviously, when we have probable cause, we'll make those arrests.
All right, very good. We also had a shooting that involved, I guess, a chase over the weekend on Lepley Road. Is that right?
Yeah, this is kind of a weird one, but we had two individuals ask for a ride of an acquaintance of theirs. Once they got in the car, a guy named Travis Dean and Antonio Dean Jr., I'm not sure of the relationship there with them, but once they're in the car, they held a gun to the driver's, to the victim's head, and demanded he take them to a location. We were able to get the description of the car that was stolen. They actually stole his car at gunpoint, and then they rifled through his, you know, shirt pockets and stuff and stole whatever they could from him. We got a description. Our deputies were in the area. They were on lookout. They located the stolen car just a short time later on Lepley. The two suspects were still inside. We tried to stop them. They stopped the car, jumped out. We were able to locate and arrest both of the Dean fellas and charged with an aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, with intent to commit a felony, armed carjacking, possession of a firearm by a convicted felon, and driving with a suspended license. So It's kind of funny in a weird sense that I read that there was one that took place in Okaloosa County, and it was similar.
Yeah,
I think someone was picked up actually in Pensacola and taken over to Okaloosa County. And then once inside, then that person also held a gun to the victim's head. So I guess the lesson here is to know who you're letting in your car. And, you know, you certainly should have a level of trust and who you let in there, certainly if they're armed.
Yeah, I agree. I saw that same story, and I thought, man, that's three counties, you know, that this thing took place across. And as you said, it seems like people were involved in, you know, in inappropriate behavior of some kind. And, you know, you maybe have your, you know, be more aware of who it is that you're letting into your car. I don't know. It's certainly some odd stuff. You also had a bill pass yesterday out of the House of Representatives in the state of Florida. Has to do with police reform in the sense of, I guess it's a lot of record keeping, and it's trying to prevent, you know, bad cops from switching agencies and preventing chokeholds and training on excessive use of force and all that kind of stuff. Any thoughts on this? It passed 113-0 out of the House, which I always figure anything that passes so unanimously probably doesn't have a whole lot of teeth to it. But what does this mean for your agency, if anything?
Well, I mean, I've not looked at that. I understand it's going to the Senate next. There's nothing in this bill that would concern me. Actually, everything that I've read, and I will admit that I haven't studied it, but everything that I have seen, we're already doing. And I think there was a comment from one of the legislators that was that talked about that specifically, that this is just putting into law what many agencies are already doing. If you look at one of the aspects is that if you're an applicant, that you have to you know, disclose that you were fired or under investigation from another agency. Well, that already takes place in the background check. I don't have any concerns about that. It's about use of force, documenting levels or uses of force, We already do that. And even, you know, obviously the Pensacola Police Department, when I was there, we did that. These are things that we're already doing. I think, there are some things that will help, you know, standardize recruit training and standardize some of the trainings that we get from the Florida, Department Florida Department of Law Enforcement. And then there's some reporting things. So I don't have a problem with it. It just amazes me sometimes that people don't believe that law enforcement has this level of scrutiny on themselves in this day and age. I was talking to a gentleman yesterday, and he couldn't believe we did psychological exams. We've been doing that since the 80s.
Right. Yeah, again, with the what outsiders don't know goes on the inside based on what they see either on television or what they read or what they believe, because, you know, they don't know, right? And part of the job, that's one of the reasons why I like to have you guys on the air to talk about this stuff, is because people don't realize what happens. You know, one of the questions that I have been wanting to ask you, we just kind of have never quite had time recently. I know you were part of, obviously, pioneering the body camera program at PPD, and now you're working on getting the body cams. You guys don't have those yet, though, right? The body cams at the Scammy Sheriff's Office?
No, we don't. I signed the invoice probably 3 weeks ago, right after the Board of County Commissioners approved the funding, and they're starting to trickle in. We should have our first dozen or so in, by the end of this week, and then we'll start to put them out throughout the month of May. We'll start putting them out probably, you know, 5 or 10 at a time.
All right, very good. But that wasn't the one I was going to ask you about. What I wanted to ask you about is, as you know, PPD also pioneered a drone program after you left. But, of course, your chief deputy now was the chief when this happened, Tommy Leiter. Do you guys have a drone program? Like, I have no idea. And I realized that I just had no notion of whether you guys even have drones that you use routinely at all.
We do not, but we have been working on that for the last couple of months. There are a lot of restrictions regarding airspace, and we have a lot of, military installations around here. So we want to make sure that what we get, the drones that we get, will be the appropriate drones. The usage will be appropriate. And what we're looking at basically is to look for missing persons, kids that may be lost in the woods or some, in some way. That's what we're looking for a drone program for. But obviously, they have a lot of other police uses. And I also believe that there may well be a bill in the legislature that discusses drones as well. So we want to make sure that we make sure what the law is before we purchase these drones and before we start our program. Now, we have sent some people to some classes, training classes, though.
Yeah, no, that's great. Great. And you're right. The bill that's working on this is actually one of Alex Andrade's bills. So the other question, though, is, you know, PPD did theirs with IHMC, you know, kind of built it from scratch with IHMC. Are you guys working with them, or are you working with, you know, are you looking for an off-the-shelf thing, or, you know, what are you looking at?
We're working with Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office. They have a drone program, and we've been working with them on what they're doing. As you know, Scambia County has a lot of rural areas, and we feel like we can make use of those on different areas of the county. So our intent is to put one on the north end and one on the south end to have that availability so that we can put it up. We're not at this top point working with IHMC. As my understanding, they were working on some small ones utilizing their SWAT team. Right now, we're just looking at developing a program that can help us map out a crime scene or can help us do a grid search.
Okay. All right. Well, that I was curious. That's why I asked, because I didn't know the answer. And, you know, I like to ask questions where I have no idea what the answer is. Chip Simmons, he is the chief of police in Escambia County. As always, sir, thank you so much for the time, and thank you for the work. We appreciate what you do.
All right, Andrew. Take care.
Did I say chief of police?
I think I just heard. That's why he laughed. That's why I laughed at the end.
That is why he laughed. Okay.
You called him chief of police in Escambia County.
I was trying to figure it out yesterday when I got off the air. I'm like, why'd he laugh? Okay, that's why. So it was former chief of police, former chief deputy, now sheriff of Escambia County, and all-around good guy. All right, I got you now. I got you now, Sheriff. 547 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis, do I ever misspeak?
No. Never.
And while you're at it, Andrew, you should run for mayor.
How are you enjoying that sunset right now? I'm Andrew McKay. Oh, man. Wow, I can't even remember the last time I heard this song. All right, give me some of that unskinny vibes. Well done, Davis, digging up the argument. I love when Davis plays music from before he was born, which is most of it. 5:49 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
President Biden gives his first speech to Congress tonight on the eve of marking 100 days in office. Typically, when that happens, a cabinet member stays behind as a designated survivor, but that won't happen tonight. Not necessary, since attendance is being limited because of the pandemic. We'll have live coverage of the speech. It starts at 8 tonight. The CDC loosening recommendations on wearing face masks. NBC senior medical correspondent Dr. John Torres.
What they're trying to do here is saying, okay, now we understand the science that things can open up a little bit more for those that are vaccinated because we know they can still stay safe as long as they're outdoors in small groups, regardless of where they are or who they're with. They don't need to wear a mask.
CDC Director Rochelle Walensky saying fully vaccinated people can gather in small crowds outdoors unmasked, but she says everyone should still wear a face mask in a crowded outdoor gathering.
Thank goodness we can now all get permission to do what we've been already all doing. Go ahead, Mark.
One person dead, another injured after a bee attack in Texas. The bees swarmed from a tree at a home in Breckenridge, Texas. One person went into cardiac arrest and died. When fire crews arrived, the bees then swarmed them. The hive has since been removed.
No,
thank you.
No.
That is one thing that unnerves me.
You remember that picture of that guy who went to the, I think it was a Walmart or a strip mall or something, and he leaves his car back.
Walmart or a strip mall. Okay.
Well, they're like kind of the same thing, right? A strip mall.
Okay.
It was some kind of, in my head, I have it as a strip mall, but I don't remember if it was at a Walmart or not. Okay. I think it was Walmart. Anyway, yeah. He leaves his car windows down, and he comes back, and he finds 15,000 beehive in his car.
In his car. It's like, no. That car, I'm not getting in that car again.
You just have it. Ever. Just take it. Just, do whatever you want with it.
Set fire
Burn
to it.
Burn it up. Yeah, it's fine. I don't need it. I'm good. Are you allergic? Anything like insect stuff?
Yes, a little bit.
To bees?
Yeah.
Same thing. Like when I was a kid, I got stung on the arm and I thought, and I had a bad reaction. And they thought they're going to have to take me to the hospital. This is way before the days of the, you know.
I got stung on the hand when I was a kid in grade school and it swelled up like a basketball.
Same thing. Same thing on the arm. And then ever since then, I've never known if I was really allergic or not. But I kind of behave like I am.
Chance.
Right. But ever since, I've never been stung by a bee. Wasp a few times, or, several times by wasps. That doesn't seem, that just hurts.
Yes, it does.
It does hurts a lot. All right, Mark. 5:52 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Oh, Justin Bieber is guilty of cultural appropriation. You say, again? Yeah, again. That's all he ever does. No, see, he's got dreadlocks. And is, I mean, look, I don't know where to start on this story, right? I mean, obviously, we're going to have him in the Transgressors Memorial Service on Friday. Early service at 6:20, late service at 8:20. Be sure to show up. Wear your best Sundays. Look, the cultural appropriation concept is insane. You get that, right? This is another one of these tools by the left, by the PC folks, the cancelers, the woke crowd, the critical race theory, like all of that stuff kind of bundled into one, cultural appropriation, is that, like Cinco de Mayo, we're all guilty. Because how dare you take what? Food, music, clothing styles. I thought America was the melting pot. I thought the idea of America was this whole notion that you come here and we all mix it all together and we take the stuff that we like and I mean, what's the problem? I like rap music. Am I a cultural appropriator? Well, yeah, it's crazy. If a white guy wears a shirt that's got the green, red, and yellow flag or colors that are associated with African nations and or Jamaica and or, I mean, black liberation or reggae or whatever, is that cultural appropriation? I mean, it's bizarre, this notion that you have to you have to leave all this stuff only for them. It's their stuff. Don't touch their stuff. Stop touching my stuff. Why? What's the big deal? Share and share alike. If you like something, wear it, sing it, eat it, Wear it on your head, whatever you want to do. No, that's cultural appropriation. No, it's a hairstyle. It's a hairstyle. White people have been sporting dreadlocks, I'm trying to think, like, since at least the 80s. Maybe longer. I don't know what the issue is. I mean, seriously, I don't know what the issue is. This is one of the dumbest things that the left does.
I got to tell you, come Cinco de Mayo, we're all in trouble.
Absolutely. St. Patrick's Day, we're all cultural appropriators. I mean, I'm actually Irish, so it's okay. But, you know, I like pizza and Italian food. I like pasta. Am I a cultural appropriator? It's crazy. Crazy. You understand that the whole idea of these rules is to find ways to find everybody guilty. Everybody's guilty. And you got to make enough rules to make sure that you can find anybody guilty anytime you want. It really is the Spanish Inquisition. It's a religious movement, and they don't even know it. Tests for purity, trying to make sure that you follow all the rules, identifying and outing the heretics. You know, and the worst heretic is the person who doesn't believe the rules are the right rules, right? I'm just saying, that's the reality of this thing. 437-1620. This is actually kind of a funny point. Somebody texts in, and for how long have black people been trying to have their hair be straight or look more white to fit into white people's hairstyle? Is that cultural appropriation? I'll tell you, it's unfortunate that they feel the need to have to do that, but would you really argue that that's inappropriate, cultural appropriation? Somebody else texts in, this is just evidence, again, that they want us divided. Yes, yes. Why can't you just look at that and say, you know what, Biebs, that's ugly. Just say that. Did you say dreadlocks are ugly? You don't have to say it's cultural appropriation. Just say you don't like his hairstyle. That's all you have to say. I mean, it's amazing. It is, honestly, it is amazing. 437-1620, 437-1620. What am I, somebody says, if I said I dislike both rap and country music? Oh, I mean, you're a misanthrope. You hate humans. That's the problem. I'm Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We've got a military incursion / trouble in Iran or near Iran. Did you see this? This is not the first time, but we have now had the United States military has fired warning shots at Iranian fast attack craft. This is... It's just you don't... The difficulties of operating a global navy that is there to maintain freedom of navigation. It's all of these, like, dumb little aggressive things that other nations do. Like the Russians when they're flying their jets near our surveillance bombers, or just when we're in, you know, international airspace and they're flying up near us and harassing them. It's that harassing stuff. It's pesky stuff. But it's stuff that could escalate pretty quickly, right? So you've got these two boats are operating in or the Arabian Sea, I think is where it was. And you've got the Naval Coastal Patrol Boat Firebolt and a Coast Guard Island-class patrol boat, Baranov. And you got several little boats come flashing up near them, getting within about 70 yards, about 200 feet, and doing it enough that eventually the Firebolt has to fire off some shots, warning shots. Hey, back it up. And it's not the first time. This is now the second time that this happened on April 2nd. There was another one. Two Coast Guard vessels being harassed for a couple of hours. Good judgment not to actually have to kill anybody.
News, talk, traffic, and weather. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
It's 6 o'clock.
An indictment in the murder of a Santa Rosa County teenager. Still no arrests in a mass shooting at Oakwood Terrace. And what may be the final extension of a state of emergency. Those stories after Fox News.